なんですね。フォースワン、ピース、バイセクト、オフィース。For everything there are the trees, flowers, fruits, or the conception in the mother's womb. Not everything. There is a thing. And this is also another cosmic energy. But we cannot explain how this season, or how this period, conditions, or provides all these facilities to produce the life. One of the facts. And the last one is the most controversial subject. That is called Dhamma Niyam. Dhamma does not mean here the teachings of the Buddha. Why the teachings of the Buddha is known as Dhamma? By realizing the real nature of the universe and the world and world conditions, or natural occurrence, he explains. And because of that, we introduce his thinking as nothing. Otherwise, he did not create anything. He did not produce anything. He realized the existing universal law, which others could not understand. He knew why these occurrences take place like this. Are they not sleep? So here, Dhamma gives another meaning. Natural phenomena. For everything, we say, oh, it is natural. This is the meaning of this. It is natural. The nature, dhammaka, it is natural. For everything. This is the very word, but others could not understand. Later, they have interpreted this concept as a person. Nature as God. And God created nature. We say, oh, nature created. But some other way, God created. But you should not worry about this. This is only words. Same concept. But some people regard God as a person. Some others, many others say, no, God is not a person. It is a nature. God is nature. Again, they have come back to the same original concept. Why they want to avoid this? God is not a person. There are many things that they cannot answer. Why God creates like this and discriminations and sufferings and work and eruptions and starving millions? Let us take Ethiopia. How many millions are starving there without food? Who created them? Where is the creator? Why does he allow them to suffer like this? No answer. But when we say, nature means worldly conditions. The environment here create lots of changes. Nobody is responsible for that. Then we cannot blame anybody. As Buddhists, we never blame either God or devil. Because we can understand worldly conditions according to the teachings of the Buddha. We know why we suffer. And we know how to end our suffering. That is the purpose of our living. Otherwise, no meaning at all. Why suffering here? Why existing, struggling for our survival, almost every meat? What will we gain in the end? Nothing. More worries, more frustration, more disappointment, more suffering. And again we start another one after this. Then there is the end. So, this last factor. Now let us say a butterfly. Very colorful and beautiful. Then people will see the way how God has designed this color. Let us take peacock, wonderful color, birds. Of God designed all these things. And this is actually to us a small resemblance. But those who can understand to certain extent, not fully, it is impossible for us to understand fully because our minds are deluded. We have more ignorance than anything else. Our senses are limited. Our thinking power is limited. How can we understand everything here in this universe? The main purpose of learning our religion for us to understand the important aspect, not the whole universe, impossible. We create our own imagination. In the end, we won't get anything. So, this word of God, universe or Dhamma, of God, we should not argue. When others say God, you accept this as me. Then no need to argue. They may have created some imagination in their mind. It is immaterial for us. But we must know how to face facts without creating imagination. These are the five factors, just now I mentioned. When all these five join together, the life is created. So there is no God, there is no eternal soul. These two things are missing there. According to the Buddha, no place for this. Now let us take another group. Five abilities. Panchas Kandi. Rupa Vedana Sanya Sankara Vijnana. These aggregations, these five things joined together again responsible for our appearance as human beings or any other forms of nature. What are those five? Rupa means material form, that means elements. One group. Element group. Different kinds of elements. Then feeling or sensation, one of the mental faculties in our mind. Our sanya, sanya means perception. What is perception? Identification. Recognition. We recognize this is so and so. This is good. This is bad. Another mental factor. Third one, mental habits. Mental formation. Mental tendency. Now this is a very important word. This is the thing that we carry forward life after life to condition another one. Our habits that we develop during this lifetime. We are the result of what we were and we will be the result of what we are. Namaskar says. That means everything that we have developed, accumulated, as mental habits, good or bad, we experience here and we behave according to that particular mental habit. That is the very reason why it is very difficult to change the minds of criminal minded, treated cruel people's lives to be good because they are in that particular place. At the same time, there are some good people, religious-minded people, kind people, honest people. Under any circumstances, they don't change their attitude. They are ready to suffer for the sake of their principles. That is their habit. All these things, good and bad, accumulated, we introduce as mental condition. The last one is consciousness. I have said no. After our death, all these feelings, sensations, perceptions, mental habits, we develop through our five senses and mental objects. When five senses are not working, we develop mental image, mental object. These things contribute for that consciousness. When these five roots join together, fully developed life comes into existence. So, in the Buddha's language, the world or the universe is under this. He says, the whole world is within you. Whole universe is within you. Not necessary for you to go out to understand the nature of the universe. If you know how to analyze this more physical body, you can start from atomic energy. And everything you can find here, if you know how to analyze. To understand the impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and the nature of the sweet impression, and nature of suffering and being, everything we experience here. So in prospect, then you can understand what this world is. People are suffering here in this world. If people have fear, suspicion, tension, who is responsible for them? These individual human beings are responsible for them. So our behavior, our character, our temperament, our way of life contribute to disturb or to maintain peace, happiness in this world. By knowing when this universe comes into existence, how many galaxies are there, how many universes are there, how many suns and moons are there, what do you mean? Nothing. You can glorify, oh, I know there are so many things. But forever you remain as a stupid people, as ignorant people. Your anger, jealousy, grief, and all this, your thoughts are still remaining in your mind. Then what did you mean by knowing that? I remember a book written by a well-known French scholar. The title of this book is Learned Ignorance. Very interesting book. Learner's Ignorance. He says, by knowing more and more about this world, what we do, we enlarge our ignorance. Now our ignorance is this much. But after learning, we develop our ignorance, become very angry. Then, egoism, jealousy, anger, argument, all sorts of things also take place later, because learn a lot. Then we say, it is impossible for us to learn anything from outside. We never learn. We can get some information from outside. After hearing this information, we has to develop all the knowledge and ideas and realization and understanding in our mind. It is impossible for anybody to enter any idea into our mind. We get news from others and we analyze, either to accept or to reject. So we cannot gain anything from outside. That is the very word uttered by the Buddha as vipassana meditation. Vipassana meditation means insight. Insight means a realization of three things in this world, whether in this world or any other part of the universe. Everything that which comes into existence subject to these three characteristics, universal nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta. No one is exempted from it. Everything is imperfect. Can you find out anything that is remaining as permanent? Life or plant or element? Atom. Yes. Up to end of 19th century, for thousands of years, philosophers, religious teachers accepted that atom is permanent. No one can split this gear to a shell. But the 20th century, scientists have split. Proven that atom also is solid. The belief that people made into it, that eternal source is permanent, thousands of years. The Buddha brought the atom bomb into this and pointed out it is only an imagination, man's imagination. And this is the nature of our country. So everything is subject to this universal law of impermanence. No one can escape whether life or not. Second one is dukkha. Unsatisfactoriness, disappointment, conflicts, clashes. Scientifically, you have learned when friction takes place, something else appears. So existence means friction. Now here in this body, how many friction clashes take place? Elements and elements. You can hear the sound of those of them, they are fighting. With elements and energies, friction, fight. Then mind and elements. Then mind also fight. How? One thought appears in the mind, after that another one appears continuously. Now these two fight. Of course, it is not pure Abhidhamma, because when one thought appears, then the former one cannot exist. But that one conditions to appear in another one. Then create confusion in the mind. The whole thing is a battlefield. Every fraction of a second, fighting is going on. This is called unsatisfactoriness in our life. The last one is unsubstantiality. That means there is nothing here in this world for us to take as everlasting, unchangeable, permanent, entity. Nothing. Everything is going on changing. Because of these changes, existence is. If no changes, no existence. See, the Buddha has explained all these things in detail earlier. But unfortunately, people could not understand. When scientists started to explain it by using their analytical interpretation, now people learned to appreciate. That is why all over the world, more and more intellectuals appreciate the Buddha's teaching, because his teachings are not based on imaginations or theories or mythologies, but practical, analytical interpretations. But unfortunately, people cannot understand. It is true. It is difficult for us to understand the truth. We can understand everything, but not the truth. Now that is why it is difficult to introduce truth. In the name of truth, we can introduce so many other things. People can understand.
There are three schools of thought regarding the origin of the world. The first school of thought claims that this world came into existence by nature, and that nature is not an intelligent force. However, nature works on its own accord and goes on changing everything in this world. The second school of thought says that the world was created by an Almighty God who is responsible for everything. The third school of thought says that the beginning of this world and life is inconceivable, since they have neither beginning nor end. Buddhism is in accordance with this third school of thought. Bertrand Russell, a well-known Western philosopher, also a freethinker, supports this school of thought by saying, "There is no reason to suppose that the world had a beginning at all. The idea that things must have a beginning is really due to the poverty of our imagination." Modern scientists also say that some millions of years ago, the newly cooled earth was lifeless, and that life originated in the ocean. Buddhism never claimed that the world, sun, moon, stars, wind, water, days and nights were created by a powerful God or by a Buddha. Buddhist belief that the world was not created once upon a time, but that the world has been created millions of times, every fraction of a second, and will continue to do so by itself, and will break away by itself. According to Buddhism, world systems always appear and disappear in the universe. The effort made by many religions to explain the beginning of the world or the end of the world is indeed ill-conceived. The positions of religions which propound the view that the universe was created by God in an exactly fixed date or fixed year has become a difficult one to maintain in the modern scientific age. Today, scientists, historians, astronomers, biologists, botanists, anthropologists, and great thinkers have all contributed vast new knowledge of discoveries of the origin of the world. This latest discovery and knowledge is not at all contradictory to the teachings of the Buddha. Bertrand Russell again says that he respects the Buddha for not making false statements like others who committed themselves regarding the origin of the world. The speculative explanations of the origin of the universe that are presented by various religions are not acceptable to the modern scientists and intellectuals. Even the commentaries of the Buddhist scriptures written by certain Buddhist writers cannot challenge scientific thinking in regard to this question. The explanations of the origin of the universe is not the concern of religion. Such theorizing is not necessary for living a righteous way of life and for shaping our future life. However, if one insists on studying the subject, then one must investigate the science, astronomy, geology, biology, and anthropology. These sciences can offer more reliable and tested information on this subject than can be supplied by any religion. Because the purpose of a religion is to cultivate the life here in this world and hereafter until liberation is gained. I remember a poem composed by a well-known Indian poet. Infinite is the sky, infinite is the number of beings. Infinite are the world in the vast universe. Infinite in wisdom, the Buddha teaches this. Infinite are the virtues of him who teaches this. So, you want to know something about rebirth, isn't it?
How difficult. Three things must depart from a person, either body or the mind or three things, not only consciousness. First thing is difficult to understand. Life sense. That means when conception takes place in the mother's womb, one particular karma that we have done during our previous birth is responsible to condition this particular life to exist for its present need. Now that is the reason why some people die when they are very young. Because that particular karma is weak. No chance to continue the whole life. So when we accumulate good karma, so one of these karma takes the responsibility to condition this life and the lifespan depends on it. So when that particular karma is extinguished, this is one of the factors. The other one is Usnima, it is understood, temporary. Heat energy also must depart. The last one is consciousness. Consciousness here accumulated various mental faculties. So when these three things completely departed, then they because this question always people ask, what is the fate of some people who face unexpected this, like plane crash, instant this, within 1 minute or 2 minutes? Next, it should be here. What is the fate? So, they must understand, all these three are energy. Karmic energy, heat, and consciousness, all are energy. The physical body may turn into pieces or ashes, instant. But the energy takes their own sweet time. Then rebirth takes place according to their own, their energy, not the energy. Animals are not responsible for that. So the consciousness, it is like this. When we are going to die, now this is very important. When we are going to die, three things appear in our mind. Kamma, kamma nimitta, gati nimitta. First thing, all the good and bad mental activities we have accumulated in our mind, submerged in the subconscious mind, start to project.
Thoughts.
Appears in the dying man's mind just like a film show. One after the other, all these karma, karmic reflections happen. That is the first thing. Second thing, minister, signal, sign. According to one particular karma, which appears in the dying man's mind as a last thought. That means, when all these thoughts are going on working and working, the mind falls onto the last thought. No more projection. Sorry. Then, some sort of indicator appears in that mind on the result. But they said, of this particular karma, either good one or bad one. But that, jungle, darkness, animals, or flower gardens, or some people say angels, and very beautiful, pretty, nice things, are these are indicators. The fate of this life depends on this. Indeed, appears in own mind, never comes from outside, projected from the same mind, according to that time. Then the last one, gati nimitta. That means, before our consciousness departs from here, according to that last thought which appears in the dying man's mind, we grasp the object into our mind, which is conditioned by that particular karma. That means, now this dying man knows where he goes. It does not mean that he goes on searching somewhere. This is our own belief. We believe after our death, our departed soul or spirit or this and that we have different roles. Or consciousness, go on searching a suitable place for us to settle down. This is our own imagination. It does not work in that place. So before we depart from here, we have already taken that into our mind. Then the rebirth or the conception or whatever may be takes place according to this particular order. Remember, this is the Buddha's teaching. So this question is a very good one. Thank you.
Let us take Angulimala, a murderer, how he could manage to change his karma by leading a religious and pure life.
This is the nature of karma. So, I can give a name to us for that. Assume we have human beings. You say we do that. We say lies, we steal, and we do also. We have jealousy and anger and drugs and enmity and all sorts of stupid ideas. We have this. You cannot purify your mind from greed, is it? But you also do lots of good things. Charity, helping others, supporting others, assisting others, and sometimes patience and kindness and tolerance and honesty. All these are good meritorious things. So, listen. Whatever you develop in your mind as your habit, may be very minor. Every day-to-day life, assume, offering a flower every day in front of the Buddha, or a glass of water, did not just, or if possible, recite something. Did not recite some saying to the Buddha or chanting. You can develop this as your habit. Every day when that time comes, or in the morning, either morning or evening, you are going on repeating and repeating and repeating this throughout your life. Although you have done some bad karma, since you have trained your mind according to this fact, at the dying moment, very easily you can get this into your mind. Because it has been working in your mind for a long time. There are many stories to do that. But remember what I mentioned earlier, the bad effects of the karma that you have accumulated, they will disappear.
Thank you. Lord.